And good afternoon again, my friends. Welcome back to Farm Talk here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. I'm Mick Kerr. He's Doug Lear. We get together on a Friday afternoon. And again, our visit's brought to you by Dakota Cat on West Main, West Fargo. Check out their website. They've got side-by-sides, 4x4s, and snowmobiles. But we won't talk about that here on the next to the final Friday in August here.
No, but I will say is for, you know, as you allude to is, you know, there's a lot of equipment that you can use to tread lightly. Mm-hmm. And we definitely, we see the definite use for farmers and ranchers and getting to places a little bit easier and a little bit quicker than they had in the past. And those same kind of tools are being utilized by early Canada goose hunters to get, you know, down the side roads without leaving as deep of a footprint, without sinking into the township roads. And it's definitely, something that's really helped improve hunter landowner relations. We always try to tell hunters, when in doubt, walk. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not sure if that road is got a little too much moisture on it, a little too soft, we'd rather have you walk. But there's some great equipment that's available to help you get from A to B without getting stuck in the middle on your way to B.
Make it, yeah. Don't want those big ruts either on the township road, on the approach into the field, or in the field.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Mick. Yeah. No doubt about that.
So we've got deer season, archery deer season in North Dakota.
Yep.
1 week from today. As the temperatures cool, should the fishing improve?
You know, we're actually starting to settle into, I hate to use the word fall, but mm-hmm. we're starting to settle in just because of the way the temperatures have been. The shortening of the days, the photo period, it impacts the wildlife, it impacts the fish as well. And there's also the temperature impacts that's, you know, when people talk about, you know, alluding to the archery deer season that's opening up in 1 week, when people talk about the rut, that'll take place in November because of the shortening of the days, and it's enhanced by the temperatures. When the temperatures cool, the feeding increases. And similar to the fishing, when we get to this time of year, when the water temperatures are cooling, it actually triggers the feeding mechanism for the fish. So it's kind of goes against maybe conventional thinking. We typically talk about like the dog days of summer. And, you know, the warm temperatures slowing down the fishing, it slows down the angler just a little bit. When the water temperatures cool down, it actually can pick up the fishing because those fish are going to start feeding a little bit more. So,
more,
you know,
of a feed like before hibernation almost.
Yeah, yep, very good. That's a great alliteration. Is, you know, when you think of animals going into the hibernation mode, you start to, you know, think about, okay, well, on the fishing side of things, it works in kind of the same way where they're going to be feeding more leading in towards winter. So the catching can definitely improve this time of year. When I'm talking to some of my friends fishing like the big waters of Sakakawea, the Missouri River, you head down to Lake Oahe and down into South Dakota or Devil's Lake or Lake of the Woods. One of the kind of continuous fishing mechanisms that works is to go in towards the deeper water. And the fish have been going down deeper with the warmer temperatures. They haven't been coming back up yet. So the fish, even though the air temperatures and the water temperature is a little bit cooler, the fish are still down in the deeper areas.
And it's all temperature dependent.
It's all
water temperature dependent.
Yep, it's all water temperature dependent. So that would be probably one of my keys, whether you're on, you know, some of that big water or the deeper parts of the smaller lakes and reservoirs. That's probably a good place to start if you're going to be heading out there and going fishing and you like to actually catch fish.
Yeah.
Instead of just going out there and going for a boat ride.
Because that's great science and physiology of aquatic species and all that, but anybody told the fish that? That's what they're supposed to do?
Well, and here's one of the struggles that goes against our mind when we think about fishing is like, when we hear people say, man, the fish are just jumping in the boat. They're just, you know, they're biting on plain hooks. And we go, oh, that's not a good sign. Like, well, what do you mean? Because that means there's no food in there. Something may have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've seen that happen in the past. And like, I think it was probably 20 years ago down on Lake Oahe in South Dakota. There had been some real water issues that had taken place with the loss of smelt. And they had stunted fish. They didn't have enough food to eat. They didn't have enough Schmelt. Yeah. Getting the German.
Road. Are you from down there on the Vichik and all that?
Yeah, the Schmelt. So they lost their forage. So the walleye in Lake Oahe from basically from Pier up into North Dakota into Bismarck, they were stunted. They were small fish. So South Dakota Game Fish and Parks and North Dakota Game and Fish, it's a shared waterway, so we're working together. And one of the telltale signs of fish that were growing really slow, that were really thin and long, and that were old, and were biting on anything, is that's a bad sign for the mm-hmm. fishery. So what
mortality is imminent.
Eh? Right. Right, because so what's going to happen is they're not going to have enough forage sheets, so they're not going to grow. They may end up dying off. There was, I think at one point, and the number doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be definitive. I think the limit was like 20 on walleye.
It's better to catch them and utilize them than have them wash up on shore stinky.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, in a perfect scenario, you're going to tell people, well, you don't want to be catching any walleyes and keeping them under 14 inches. In this case, those fish weren't being able to grow to 14 inches. So there was, you know, it was like, you know, I think you, and what I'm putting out there is the philosophy, not the actuality, but it was like, you know, 20 fish walleye and no limit under 10 inches or something like mm-hmm. that. You might be able to take like one trophy to target that. That's a way that like fisheries managers could help. Now, could they, it wasn't fisheries management of taking all those small walleyes that turned it around. It was water and it was schmelt that all came back to help that. So if you're on a lake, and I've heard of this happening like with zebra mussels in places in Minnesota where you get zebra mussels and it disrupts the natural production of invertebrates mm-hmm. and like, man, the fishing's just great. And you go, yeah.
What's wrong with this picture?
And that's not a good sign. Mm-hmm. And actually on the flip side of that, you can go to a lake and go, man, I just can't catch any fish. I see them all on there. I got my fish finder. It's showing fish everywhere. None of them are biting. We're going, that's because there's good natural forage in there. In the short term for catching, it makes you have to be a better angler. But, you know, the message going out to people that are, you know, if you're listening is that you go to your favorite slough and you're marking fish on there and you're not catching them, then you need to try something different. I'm not going to guarantee you any results. You know, switch different tactics. Try different things to catch them, different kinds of bait.
Different color.
Yeah, that's the age. Yeah, exactly, Mick. Mm-hmm. But it's a good sign for the health if you can see the fish because there's natural forage in there. That's what it takes to sustain, to maintain, and to maybe grow that population. So when you can throw a bear hook into that trout pond and the trout just grab at it because there's nothing else to eat in there, when you're fishing a lake and those fish are biting bear hooks, that's not a good sign at all, Mick. Not a good sign.
All righty. Well, let's turn this frowny emoji into a smiley icon again.
We got to try it. Let's do it, bud.
Who caught the record? Xander, was it? And where?
Xander was caught. And, you know, a little bit of the history. The previous record was held by Christopher Saylor of Jamestown. We're talking about Spirit Lake. It's north and a little bit east of Jamestown. The Xander is a cousin to the walleye that was stocked in Spiritwood Lake back in the late 1980s. Sam Wenner was a bass fisherman, and last Saturday on Spiritwood Lake, he was targeting bass, and he ended up hooking what was a Xander that tipped the scales like you wouldn't believe. It's going to be a new state record Xander at 15.91 pounds.
Wow.
Now, we don't classify everything as a state record, just like, all right, you got yourself a new state record. There's been some problems in the past with that.
This year.
Right. What we do is with a Xander as a European cousin, we're going to do genetic testing to make sure that's exactly what it is. So there's going to be a process. You'll hear when it is certified, but 15.91 pounds, 35 5/8 of an inch long. That previous record had been taken back in July of 2003. The previous record was 11 pounds and 3 ounces. So yeah, when you talk about put a smile on a face, when you're out there bass fishing on Spiritwood Lake and you end up catching almost a 16 pound, they look really similar to a walleye. Mm-hmm. And you know, going back, that was why they were stocked back in 1989. It was a one-time effort, 180,000 fry, 1,050 fingerlings. And thinking that this is something that could, you know, give people big fish like a walleye.
Yeah.
And they definitely did that, Mick.
Wow. All right. Well, and if anybody wants pictures and the story, go to newsdakota.com. It's all there for you. And meanwhile, a lot of Minnesotans are headed to the Great Minnesota Get-Together. Everybody else is headed to Spiritwood Lake with their boats trying to catch another big one.
If there was one there, there might be another.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, could be 99,999 yet.
There you go, my friend. There okay. You go.
All righty. Thank you, Doug. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
See you in 2 weeks.
Sounds great, Mick. Take care, buddy.
You bet. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. Thank you for hanging out with us all week. Next week, coming to you from Farm Progress in Decatur, Illinois. This is Farm Talk.